Turn with me this evening to the portion of God's Word that we have read together in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. This morning we looked at a text and we concentrated very much on the text and narrowed our thoughts to that text. This evening I want to look at the account of Jairus and the raising of Jairus' daughter. But rather than homing in on the text, I want to put it in, I want to speak this evening about the whole account, the whole event that takes place of Jairus going to the Lord Jesus and coming back down and being into his home. I want to take 8 or 9 different points, short points that we, God willing, may learn from this whole account. The first point that I would like to draw to your attention is the number of broken lives that even the Lord Jesus Christ met with in this short journey from where he was down to the house of Jairus. There's a snapshot here of just a short period of time in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read of Jairus going to the Lord coming and coming down. How long that took, I don't know. Possibly not very long. But in that short snapshot of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, how many broken lives do you see? We read in verse 24 that much people followed him and thronged him. We see a woman coming in with an issue of blood. We see the daughter death. We see disease death. We see lepers. We see all manner of things. We see them down mourning at this house. We see it all. Some of them come secretly, like the woman with the issue of blood. This man came openly. She had a disease. His daughter had death. He was a ruler of the Jews in the synagogue. She couldn't even go into the synagogue because of her condition. She was excluded from the synagogue. She came for her own disease, he came because of his daughter. I don't know if you've ever noticed, I never noticed it until I was studying this, and do you know you have 12 years of misery, and I think 12 years of joy. She was 12 years with this condition, and it must have been miserable for her. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old and she must have given them much joy over that period of time. But now they both and all of them, they come to the one place, that is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does this snapshot of the Lord's, of what was there in the Lord's day, does it not typify much of what there is in our own day? Yes, there's much joy and much pleasures that people enter into, but the ravages of sin are all around us and can be seen on every street corner, in every hospital bed, every funeral parlour, every graveyard. The ravages that sin has brought in to this world. And it doesn't matter that this man is a ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the synagogue. It doesn't matter that this woman is an insignificant woman. It didn't matter rich or poor. They could come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They could gather to him. And they would find in him one who was a saviour. My friend, that's an encouragement surely to anyone here this evening. Whosoever will, let him come to the water of life and let him drink freely. Rich and poor, Jairus, a woman, a leper, a daughter, it doesn't matter who you are this evening. The ravages of sin are evident even in your own life, if you just think about it. The rebellion against God, the ignoring of the gospel, the ravages of sin are all around you. It's even in you. And my friend, whosoever you are this evening, just like Jairus, just like this woman, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will find one there who will bless you. Second thing I want you to notice about this account is that Jairus came and besought the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine this man leaving the bed of his daughter. His daughter is on the point of death. She's dying. And you imagine him tearing himself away from that bed. Perhaps saying to himself, whatever happens, this could be the last time I will see you alive. He drags himself away from that home and he, I would imagine, runs. Runs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told, and Luke gives us the account, that he fell down, he kneeled and he fell down and he besought the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to my house. Come, he says, to my house. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands upon her. Luke says, he says, come to my home. What a contrast you have between this and the verses that we never read this evening just before it. When Jesus went over into the country of the Gadarenes and he blessed that man that was over there, and when they saw it, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And look at verse 20. And he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things the Lord, it's in verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their course. They wanted Jesus out of their course. They wouldn't have Jesus in their land. And you know, that's always true. Jesus Christ will not remain where he's not welcome. He leaves that land because they prayed him to leave. He will not stay in our country when our country does not want him to stay. He will depart. He will not stay in your home if you don't want him in your home. He'll leave your home. and he'll not enter into your heart if you don't want him in your heart. What a difference. This man comes and he bows the knee and he falls before him and openly. Different to the woman that comes with the issue of blood, she comes and secretly. This man's not in secret. He comes and he openly in front of everybody says, Lord, come to my home. Please come. Please come and enter my house. It reminds me of the two on the road to Emmaus. The Lord walked with them on the road. And it was towards evening and the day was far spent. And they constrained him, come and stay with us. And he went in with them. My friend, do you beseech the Lord Jesus Christ this evening that he would come to your home if he's not already the welcome guest in your home? Have you besought him and bow the knee before him and pray, Lord, not only enter into my home, but enter into my heart and bless me? My friend, if this evening you have never prayed a prayer the way Jairus prayed a prayer, then my friend, now is perhaps the time when you will bow the knee to Jesus and pray that he would come with you. Don't leave here this evening without praying that the Lord Jesus will go with you. Next thing I want you to notice is that his name was Jairus. Jairus by name, we are told in verse 22. There was a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Now, the two gospel writers that record this for us, both of them record the name of Jairus. Now, why should that be? You go to the Old Testament and you get a maid, Naaman's, the maid that spoke about Naaman. You don't even know what her name is. She's just a little maid. Earlier on in Mark's Gospel, you have a leper who comes and prays to the Lord that he would cleanse him. Don't know what his name is. Nobody knows what that man's name is. Out in the Gadarenes, there's a man there, and he's tormented with a devil, and the Lord blesses him. What's his name? And not only that, there is a woman who comes and touches the hem of the Lord's garment. And what's her name? I don't know her name. And you don't know her name. But you know the name of Jairus. Because not only does Mark record it for you, but Luke also records it for you. Why is that? Can I suggest to you there is one reason why it is that this man's name is recorded, and it's this. I don't think that there is anybody that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ that comes the way this man comes that would leave such a mark on these disciples as this man who comes and says, come and bless my little daughter. My little daughter. They had seen many lepers come. They'd seen many adults come. They'd seen many sick people come. They had seen this woman come. But oh, to see a man come, rushing into the presence of the Lord and kneeling before him and saying, Lord, come to my home, my little daughter is at death's door. How the heart surely of these disciples must have gone out to that poor man that day. How it must have been when they saw this man tired. He would have been tired. I believe he would be tired. He's probably been not sleeping. He'd had little sleep. His daughter was ill. Perhaps up with her through the night, sitting by her bedside, and now he comes to the Lord. And when these disciples see him, they must have had compassion upon him. Of all the people that come to the Lord, Lord, please do some for this poor man, because his little daughter is ill at home. They must have been praying possibly themselves. I don't know. We're not told that, but we are told that they remember his name. And I think these disciples are saying to themselves, Lord, of all people, do something for this poor man. You know what it is when the Lord gives you a burden for a poor sinner. When the Lord gives you a burden for some poor sinner, maybe someone that you know, maybe someone in the congregation, and you see them and they're in the gutter of sin. They're down in the depths of sin and iniquity, and they're lost and they're dead. Have you ever come and you'll not forget them? And you come and you say, Lord, do something for this one. Jesus, stop. Jesus, now, the next thing is, Jesus arises and goes, and now he stops. He goes with him. He's going with this man, even though he's not wanted in the land of the Gadarenes. This man comes and he asks him to go to his home. In his home, there are those that will mock him. They'll laugh at him. It's a home where there's mourning. Perhaps the last place you want to go to is a house of mourning. It's fine to go to a place where there's joy and all the rest of it, but to go to a house of mourning and to go to a place that he's going to be scoffed at. But the Lord arises and makes his way, and he goes with this man. And he's thronged by the crowd. They're making their way down to this man's house when Jesus stops. Wait a minute. And we are told when he stops that he turns about. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press. Wait a minute, what's the Lord doing? Jairus' daughter is at death's door. And now he stops and he turns his back on the very way that he should be going. Who touched my garment? Do you notice that it's not Jairus that actually says anything? He's probably at this point too overcome, because his little daughter is at the point of death. It's the disciples that step in. It's as though they are concerned. And they ask, thou seest the multitude. Why sayest, who touched thee? Why have you stopped? My friend, is it not the case so often that we are often confused at the dealings of the Lord with us? You think back maybe in your own experience, one of the Lord's people, and you doubt, you desire one thing, you think this is the way the Lord should be going, and he surprises you. He goes the very opposite way. and you're confused. Perhaps the disciples are saying, does Jesus really know at this point what he's doing? He's talking about his garments, he's talking about power. Surely he should be going on and making his way down to the house of Jairus. That's the way he should be going. Nah, my friend. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Ah, you see, sometimes we think that we know better than Jesus. I want me to give you my own thoughts as to why this all happens. It's to give a wonderful blessing to Jairus. You notice that? Jesus stops here, and as he stops, he gives a wonderful blessing to Jairus. How is that? Well, if you notice, Jesus stops and turns his back, and they no doubt are all already looking with him and wondering what's going on, and so is Jairus. And what happens at this very moment? There are servants coming from Jairus' house to tell him that his daughter is already dead. Does Jairus see them coming? No, he doesn't. Had they kept on walking at that point, Jairus would have seen, no doubt, these servants coming from his house, and he would have known exactly why they were coming to him. It would have put a sword right into his heart. How that would have affected Jairus. But what wonderful providence of God that the Lord Jesus Christ stops at that very moment. He turns and deals with this woman. And Jairus is looking this way, Jairus, and in come the servants, and they say, don't trouble the master. Your daughter is dead. And immediately Jesus says, don't be afraid. Only believe. You know, the Lord very often hides from us what's round the corner. And what a blessing it is, isn't it, that in his providence he does that. These disciples are probably asking themselves, does he really know what he's doing? My friend, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. He's blessing this woman, and at the same time, he's protecting Jairus from what's coming. What wonderful timing there is in God's plan for this man Jairus. And look at the comfort that Jesus then gives to Jairus. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Jairus is told this news that his daughter is dead. But Jesus immediately gives them comfort. Don't be afraid. My friend, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then it doesn't matter what comes round the corner tomorrow. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jairus didn't need to be alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he says. Don't be afraid. Believe that your daughter will be raised from the dead. He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say to Jairus, you believe your daughter will be raised from the dead. No. What he says to Jairus is this. You simply believe in me. And that's sufficient. And whatever happens when you go down to that house, whatever happens when you come home, then you don't need to be afraid. As long as you believe in me. my friend. Do you believe you able to say that this evening? Come to a communion season. Will you see another communion season? Will you see tomorrow? Will you see the next day? What's going to happen tomorrow, this week, the next month? What's round the corner? Jairus didn't know. But Jesus says to him, if you believe in me, then you don't need to be afraid. And my friend this evening, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your trust in him. Trust in him for time and for eternity. It doesn't matter what's round the corner in this world, and it doesn't matter what comes in the day of death. It doesn't matter what happens after death. Do not be afraid. Simply believe. What wonderful encouragement the Lord gives. As soon as Jesus heard the words, he came in and he comforted Jairus and encouraged and gave Jairus an assurance. And then we discover that he comes down now to the house that Jairus has. It's a house of mourning. There are all these people in the house and they're wailing and they're crying and they're mourning, at least they're mourning. Better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of feasting, because when you're in the house of mourning, you're confronted with death. People don't want that today, do they? They want to celebrate life. They don't want to think about death. We don't want to think about the things past death. Let's look back and celebrate life. Let's talk about the person. But let's not think about death. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what trial may come your way. Whether it be death in your family, in your home, whether it be a trial that is most severe, whether it be something that comes to you unexpectedly, whether it be some kind of crisis. You want me to tell you something? That is most blessed when it brings Christ into your home. It's a most blessed death experience. It's a most blessed trial. No matter what it may be, what more could you get than this man's little daughter at death's door? Dead. What a trial. What a trial for this man. His daughter is now dead. But my friend, what a blessing that turned out to be. Because it was the means of bringing Christ into the home. How many people have been awakened to their great need? Their need of salvation by death coming close to them in their family or in their friends. They're being confronted with a coffin, a body, a grave. My friend, it's a blessed affliction. You're able to say it is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? Because it brought the Lord Jesus Christ into my home, into my heart. And you notice when you come into this house that death itself is no respecter of persons. Death is no respecter of persons. You would expect to get 80 years. And if by reason of more strength you would get 80 years. But you see, the difficulty is, Death is no respecter of persons, and of age, young and old, rich and poor. The ruler of the synagogue, his home is not exempt from it. A 12-year-old is not exempt from it. My friend, death is no respecter of persons. If death were to come to you this evening, my friend, where would it find you? If death were to come, how would you be found? You have a body, and one day that body will be cast into the grave. And you know there's an army in the grave. It's the worm. It's the worm of death. Job says, though worms destroy this body, go to the graveyard that's along the road there. Dig up any of the graves, and you'll not recognise those who are there. Death and the grave and worms will destroy the body. But my friend, what about the soul? But what a difference the Lord Jesus Christ made in the soul. He put out all the mourners, because the religion of the synagogue, of the Pharisees, the religion of the Jews could do nothing for this girl. And you would have thought if there was anybody that the religion of the synagogue could have saved would be the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. Might not be able to do anything for anybody else, but surely, of all the people that were there, and those who were present, there is one man that would be able to call upon his religion and be able to do something for him. But it couldn't, other than go in and wail and mourn. My friend, my unconverted friend, what does your religion do for you? It may make you feel good, but my friend, it cannot do what Christ can do for the soul. Cannot do it. Christ comes into the situation. He comes into the home. And all he does is utter the words, Talitha kumai. What power. What power there is in the word of Christ to awaken the dead. My friend, the power that Christ has there in awakening that girl is the very power that the word of Christ today has to awaken the dead soul. The soul that lies in sin that's dead. There are many in here among us this evening that are able to say that we were dead in trespasses and in sin, but the word of God was powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I had a man in my home recently. He was a Muslim, raised a Muslim. As he was raised a Muslim, he burnt the Bible. That's what he did as a young man. Whenever they got a Bible, they rejoiced in burning the Bible. One day, he says, a cousin of mine was converted, and I saw a change in his life. It was such a change, he says, I couldn't understand what had happened. He knew afterwards that the man had been brought from death unto life. But he said there was such a change in his life that one day he gave me a Bible and I went away with it. And I sat in my bedroom and I thought to myself, I wonder what it is that my cousin sees in this book. Burn it. Let's take a look and see what we burn. You know, my friend, he sat down and he started to read the Bible, and the word of God came home with power to his soul. And it was simply by reading the word of Christ that the man was gloriously converted. Have you ever read the word of God and it's come home, the word of Christ, and the words have come, arise from the dead? Arise. I say unto thee, arise from the dead. What a wonderful raising up there was from the dead. Her ears were opened. She heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to a dead body and you can shout as much as you like at that dead body, it won't hear. But Christ opened her ears. Damsel, he says, maiden, arise from that bed. She heard. Have you ever heard the voice of Christ speaking to you? Have your ears ever been opened to hear? The very first voice she heard when she was raised out of death was the voice of the Saviour. She opened her eyes, and the first person she saw was the Saviour. How was she going to get up off the bed? The first hand that she felt was the hand of the Saviour. He took her by the hand. Arise off the bed. The first steps that she took were beside the Saviour. The first person to take care of her was the Saviour. Go, he says. He commanded that something should be given her to eat. I wonder if Jairus ever imagined that Jesus would answer his prayers in such a way. He did more for him than he could ever possibly think or even imagine. He came to Jesus and bent and kneeled and knelt before him and pled with him, come to my home, my daughter is at the point of death. He then heard the voice of the servants, don't trouble the master anymore, she's already dead. And he's probably at that time, along with the disciples, saying to himself, that's it. That's it. But Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. Just believe. Well, it's going to be very hard going down into my home now. My little daughter, my only daughter, is now lying dead. Whatever happens, at least the Lord will be there. And he can do something around her body. Maybe there can be a decent burial and at least he'll be able to say a few words to comfort us. Little perhaps did he think that not only would he save her from death and raise her out of death. This man has sat beside his daughter's deathbed. She couldn't walk. Whether she could talk or not, she probably wasn't eating. And now the Lord takes her by the hand and he walks around the room. Now give her something to eat. She's probably not eaten for a while. Give her something that'll help her. My friend, have you ever in your life heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your eyes ever been opened and it's him that you've seen and no one else? Has he ever taken you by the hand and led you? My friend, cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he careth for you. He cared for this young woman. Now the time would come when death would catch up with her again. It was in one respect putting off the day. She got up, and what joy it must have brought to that home. There she was, up, and she was healthy. Probably healthier than she had been for a long, long time. And they were astonished. That's what it says, that they were astonished. That means that they weren't thinking that this was going to happen. But the day would come where Jairus would die and he would be buried. And his wife would be buried. And then the day would come where this young damsel would die and be buried. But my friend, the spiritual life that you find in the Lord Jesus Christ is life everlasting. Life eternal. Do you tonight know what it is to possess eternal life? My friend, that eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ. Neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And think of these wonderful words that Job had when he was away back there in the Old Testament. Yes, though worms will destroy this body, yet I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that I shall see him upon the earth. I will see him. A young girl. A father pleading for his daughter. Have you got children this evening? Have you got sons and daughters? 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds? 10, 12 year olds? 20 year olds? Have you got sons and daughters? My friend, do you come? And do you kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you pray for them? Do you pray earnestly for them? This was a ruler of the synagogue. And the rulers of the synagogue, the Pharisees, were notorious for standing in street corners to be seen of men. When this man came to Jesus, there was no Pharisaic prayer there. He came and he bowed and he knelt and he besought and said, Lord Jesus, come to my home and bless my little daughter. And if you've got children this evening, pray the Lord that he will bless your little children. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, come to him and pray, Lord, bless me, because I perish. Let us pray.